Totally Hockey with the Inside Edge and the Top Lines on the 2019 IIHF Ice Hockey World Championship Day 2. Hello everybody, thanks very much for joining us. We have a very busy show today, rounding up all the events of the second day. Here with us we have Stefan Roth, hockey reporter for Swiss publication Blick. Hello Stefan.
Hello.
Thanks so much for joining us. And also on the line from Košice, it's Seth Bennett covering the World Championship for the BBC. Hello Seth.
Hello.
Indeed, and to you too, Seth. Now, also joining us a little bit later on, we'll have Darren Dreger of TSN. We'll also be hearing from one of Germany's greatest players ever, and much more besides. But first of all, let's go to a quick check on the scores on day two. Italy had another upset in mind, but the Swiss response was 9. Is it Eiskanossen, Stefan?
Yes, you can say like that, yeah.
Okay, boss in it, 9-0, the biggest win yet of the competition.
Bombacher trying to clear it out. Gets to the line and no further. Kept in Fiala. He'll drop it back and Bjorkstrand score!
Denmark blew past the Blues, 5-4 in the shootout with France. Latvia were 5-2 winners over Austria. Germany beat a spirited Great Britain side in their first top flight game in almost 10,000 days. And Saturday evening, while the Czechs pushed Norway towards the doorway, 7-2, the big match in Košice saw Finland beating Slovakia 4-2.
Mikola drops it back, score! Kaapo Kakko has struck again, and the Finns have the lead!
Remember, you can check out highlights of all the games we're discussing and much, much more on the fabulous IIHF app. And there's goals as they go in over on the IIHF social channels, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Very good. Stefan, shall we begin with Switzerland?
Yes, please, yeah.
12 months after the World Championship ended for your lot in heartbreak, it didn't take long for you to start this tournament on a much better note.
Yes, and the Swiss weren't used to start well because they had all their problems the last 3 years when they dropped points against promoted teams, and it was a nice start today.
Well, promoted side, but you made Italy look as ragged as a D-man smile, I feel. Shots raining in. I think the shot count was 61 for Switzerland, 19 for Italy.
I thought Italy didn't start bad, but they caught 3 early goals and then... the avalanche was coming down, and it was difficult to stop the Swiss, and they enjoyed it very much to play with Italy.
Is this a better Swiss team than last year?
I wouldn't say that yet. It's way too early to judge, because the team last year was really playing well and ended in the final, so it's early days. But the talent level is high. Maybe some guys are missing. We had here in Copenhagen with Timo Meier and Nino Niederreiter especially.
Right. The guys that you have got do look particularly good. Possibly not the toughest of opening games, but a more arduous contest coming up on Sunday when you're going to be up against the Latvians. We'll talk about that a bit later on. What about Kevin Fiala, though, and his hat-trick?
Yeah, that was a great game by him. And he had a sour ending in Copenhagen when he had the big, big chance in overtime against the Swedes, which could have been the gold for Switzerland. And today... he scored 3 goals and had an assist, and the first goal was amazing.
Right. Last 3 World Championships, you finished 11th and then 6th and then 2nd. I'm just saying. Anyway, it was a remarkable performance. We'll talk more about the Swiss later on. But probably the game of the day was down your way, Seth, in Košice, where Slovakia and Finland, the two teams that produced big upsets on day one, beating Canada and the USA, took each other on. And, well, this was a tight one for much of the game.
It was a great game, absolutely phenomenal game, and a great atmosphere in the arena as well. You can't get a ticket for the Slovakia games. Worse than that, though, you can't get a spot in the fan park. You can't get a taxi. You can't get a table at a restaurant. When Slovakia are playing, the people here shut down and they are watching their team. I watched the second half of that game back in the hotel, and they'd actually shut the kitchen at the hotel. All you could hear was the people in the kitchen screaming and shouting at their TV screen as the game was going on. And it was a great game. It was a really, really good game. The difference in the end was a good bit of play from the Finns to make it 3-2, and then an empty net goal right at the end. The Slovaks are here to play, and they mean serious, serious business. At the same time, I've got to say Finland, they're the team that I fear the most in this competition. They're doing things out there that are really, really impressive. They're moving the puck well. They skate so well. And if you imagine Canada, USA, Germany, number of others, they skate up and down and side to side. If you look at the way that the Finns play, it's like watching a game of snake. They play in a completely different kind of direction. They move the puck in different ways, a real different style. And I think for those teams that are less able, that don't skate as well, I think they're going to cause real problems throughout this tournament.
You're listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show with James Richardson.
One guy in particular standing out again, he's been the talking point of the tournament so far.
Kaapo Kakko, I guess you're mentioning.
Yeah, and we saw a beautiful opening goal against Canada from him, that kind of backhanded deke of the Canadian keeper, and then on this one, a magnificent point shot, then incredible close control for another goal. Seth, the hype, we have to believe it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, pure quality. And that's been one of the big bonuses so far in this tournament, is you start to get a feel for some of the players that are here that are ready to go, and he's certainly one of them.
You said you watched this in the hotel. You're in the GB hotel with a GB team watching it with you?
A few of the coaches were watching. Most of the players had disappeared off to bed because, of course, they've got a big day tomorrow. What was funny, James, though, this morning when I came down for breakfast, I kind of wandered in and the bar is exactly where you walk into the breakfast room. To the right of the bar were all the German players. To the left of the bar were all the GB players. And you had this really kind of weird sense that, you know, you got these two tribes that are ready to go at one another. And it may all start a bit early if somebody nicks the last bread roll just before anybody else is looking. It was kind of a strange situation. Very different after the game. You know, the players were chatting away to one another, and quite a lot of them know each other very, very well. So, it is one of those funny things. But I think they're only using two different hotels here in Košice. So you are going to get teams and the players all in a very, very small area.
All right. Well, with a magnificent win then for Finland, 4-2 over the hosts. Let's just quickly talk now about what happened when Germany and GB faced off, not over a bread roll this time, but very much over a face-off circle. A 3-1 win for the Germans, but for a long time, the newly promoted Brits, Seth, were holding the Olympic silver winners to a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, 39 minutes it took for Germany to break the deadlock. And what you would say is probably in that first 40 minutes, the best chances fell Great Britain's way. And when you thought, right, they're going to get through two periods goalless, they got themselves in a scramble in their own zone. And in the end, the puck broke up towards the blue line. Good shot. Germany take the lead, 1-0. And you're thinking, oof, 1-0, final minute of the period. GB, you know, this is going to hit them pretty hard. Actually, they came out and got the next goal. Mike Hammond scored his first in a GB shirt, having not scored 12 months ago. He's sixth cap today, first GB goal, big moment for him. And you're thinking, well, maybe this is going to get pretty interesting. And it did. GB had more opportunities. And to be fair, Germany looked very, very impressive in the second half of the game as well. But GB did have their chances to go 2-1 up. Paul Swindlehurst took a penalty as the penalty expired. A shot came in, it bounced off the shoulder, and Elitz was able to tap the puck into an unguarded net. And then the kicker came for the 3-1 goal. And, you know, Great Britain will be frustrated. It was the kind of script, James, you could have written before the game, a kind of scoreline you could have written before the game. But GB came out of it knowing now that they can go head-to-head with a good-level team, maybe not a top-level team within this group, but they know that they can battle them. They know that when they work hard and they stay disciplined, they can hang into games. The GB goaltender, Ben Bounds, was outstandingly good today. He was absolutely brilliant. And he is somebody who may go on from this tournament to go and earn a big contract in either one of the big European leagues or elsewhere in the world. Wow. He's a big boy. He's 6'3". He's from just outside Rotherham. And he's somebody that has developed throughout his career. He's been with the Cardiff Devils. He's played in the Champions Hockey League. But he's one already. I know I've spoken to several coaches who aren't here, and they've been getting calls asking about who is this kid that's in the GB goal? Where's he from? Surely he's one of the dual national players. He isn't. He came through the ranks in Sheffield as a youngster. And then ended up moving to Hull before eventually getting his Elite League debut with Cardiff. And he was good. But if GB are going to get anything through this tournament, he has to be their star player.
OK. He's probably going to have another busy day on Sunday when GB are up against Canada. But, you know, that's Team GB, who were, I think, applauded by everybody for their spirit and skill in this game. But they did actually lose it 3-1. So we should probably get a word on the side that emerged victors, Germany. We actually went for a post-game reaction to the man who took the Germans to the World Semis at this tournament in 2010, the two-time Stanley Cup winner, Uwe Krupp. Uwe, did you enjoy that game this afternoon?
Yeah, I thought it was a, you know, exciting hockey game. Obviously, the first games in the tournament are always really important. And, you know, I thought Great Britain really played courageous. They, you know, they played a good hockey game. They had some solid chances. And I think at 1-1, it was really important for Germany to score, obviously, that next goal. And they... you know, they scored on the power play, but overall, I got to give some credit to Great Britain. They fought hard, and their goaltender was good, and they really gave Germany a tough game.
Until that power play goal, as you say, it was unbelievably tight. Were you beginning to get a little bit nervous?
Well, you know, I mean, if you watch that game and you just you know, every now and then the camera zooms in on the faces of the players, and you know, how many times did you see the Britain guys you know, smile and laugh on the ice and when they were missing a chance, and you can see that they're just having a lot of fun. And you know, you zone in on the German team, and you know, this was a must win for Germany. And you know, those are not easy games to play, and I feel, especially in the first game of the tournament, there's a chance that one of those teams that is coming up can have a special day and trip you. So I thought all the pressure was with Germany. They ended up handling it pretty well, and you know, maybe not the prettiest game or best game they're going to play here, but they had to win it and got the job done.
Uwe, how big a difference do you think the change in coach will make that happened on the eve of the tournament with Marco Sturm, who'd been in charge of the run to the silver medal at the Olympics, now replaced and off to the NHL, and in his place, Tony Soderholm?
First and foremost, I think it was a great opportunity for Marco to get his foot in the door in the NHL. And, you know, that's an opportunity, whether you're a player or as a coach. You know, those chances don't come around that often, and he felt that it was time for him to take that opportunity. And you know, he informed the German Hockey Federation that he's going to leave, and you know, certainly not an easy position to be in if you you look at it from a German perspective. But Tony Söderholm is a young coach; he's got a good reputation, and I feel he's obviously capable of doing the job.
Now, pre-tournament, there was a lot of talk about the strength of this German group being one of the real advantages it has, the homegrown nature of the roster. What are the other things that you would highlight that make Germany dangerous, and how far do you think the team can go?
You have to first understand what the goal is. I think the goal is to put yourself in a position for Olympia qualification, so you don't have to play the qualifier, and that means that you have to have a solid world championship to, you know, to improve your ranking or maintain your ranking, your world ranking, and that's a big task. So strengthen the team. You obviously have to look at the offense with, you know, Leon Draisaitl is going to be a factor. Dominic Cahoon will be a factor. I think we have some solid offensive ability and talent in the group. The goaltending, Söderholm chose three new goaltenders compared to Marco's three goalies in Pyeongchang. Those are all young goalies. And, of course, or two of them, yet now with Grubauer coming in last night, that's going to give them, you know, world-class goaltending. So that's going to help him defensively. Overall, I think the offense is good. If we're on the power play, I think we should be able to score some power play goals. And if we can play solid 5-on-5 and, you know, show good structure in the defensive end, I think we're going to be all around. We are a pretty good team.
And is there a game in particular that you're looking forward to that's the key fixture for Germany this week?
I think tomorrow is already going to be a big game for them. I mean, if you want to get into the top four, then you're gonna have to beat some teams. So, good start against Great Britain. Denmark is waiting. They have a few more hours of rest. Shouldn't be too much of a factor early on in the tournament, but you never know. And those are traditionally tough games.
Germany off to a winning start. As we mentioned, there's a late arrival for the Mannschaft, Colorado Avalanche netminder Philipp Grubauer, who will be coming into Kostschitz on Sunday to join Matthias Niederberger. A fabulous set of keepers there, Stefan. One's called Niederberger, the other one plays for Avalanche.
Yep.
it's a nice bit of balance, that. Anyway, Germany looking good. Leon Draisaitl, the big name, coming into the tournament looking good, and up next they're going to be up against Denmark, who on Saturday afternoon gave us our first shootout against France. Boy, this was a bit of a thriller, Seth.
Brilliant game. I tell you what, you guys were in the wrong place today, because the good games have been here in Košice. That was started with a wonderful affair between France and Denmark, and France got off to a really good start in the game, and they played with so much attack, so much vigour. They really stretched Denmark, and they really could have been up by a much bigger margin, but Denmark then pegged them back. France then came back into it. At the end of 60 minutes, they were tied. They go through the overtime period where there were chances for both teams once again, and it was a physical, feisty game. They're in one another's faces all the way through the game. Every whistle, there seemed to be a scrum. Lots going on. There was lots of passion on the line for these two sides, because they know that along with the GB game, it might be the most crucial fixture for them within this group stage in terms of preserving their elite status within the World Championships. So when it did go to that shootout, you're wondering which way it was going to go. In the end, Denmark just about coming through. But I think France will feel good about what happened in the game. They'll probably be kicking themselves that it was a missed opportunity. They should have really made a bit more of the chances that they had. But really, that's the difference. It's that ability to take the chances when they come in the games. France didn't do it as well as they could, despite scoring four times. And I think tonight they'll feel just a little frustrated.
Mm. As you say, one win could be crucial for teams like France and, of course, GB, who are looking to avoid the drop down to the Division One again. In Bratislava today, we had some fun, Stefan. We saw loads of goals this evening, as the Czech Republic did Norway 7-2. Now, there was a horrible injury in this. It looked like a serious knee injury to Olsen, who had to be helped off the ice.
It didn't look good, yeah.
Yeah, his knee completely taken out by that hit from Rekko, is it Gudas, the Flyers defenseman? Apart from that, a whopping win, and another big win for the Czechs, who are really starting strong.
The Czechs are really impressive. I think they play really dynamic, and I think they will beat a lot of teams in this tournament and can go far. Yeah.
They have Russia on Monday. That's going to be huge.
Nice game to watch, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. There was another game on day two. It featured Latvia and Austria. It was watched by a raucous crowd here in Bratislava, which is, of course, just across the border from Austria. Among the interested spectators, though, was a man from the NHL, scout Danny Brooks, who we bumped into while he was looking for prospects for the Washington Capitals. Post-game, I asked him a question or two, beginning with why he picked this match.
You look at a team like Sweden or even the Czech Republic, a lot of those players are already drafted and owned by NHL teams, are currently playing the NHL. So those games for us are a little bit not harder to watch. They're obviously, there's a ton of great players, but for what we're looking for, trying to find new talent, a lot of those teams aren't going to have players because there's just too many NHL players are currently playing on those teams.
Okay, and on your scouting report then for this game, who stands out?
I thought Michael Raffel was really good today. I thought the goalie for Latvia was excellent. He, obviously they were players of the game, but I thought both teams played very, very well.
Okay, and is there one prospect that you've particularly made a note to seek out over the next week or two here?
Not one in particular. We're kind of just trying to get an overall look at a lot of the guys to see what's happening and see if someone kind of emerges. You know who the big dogs are, but You try to see if some of the other countries that, you know, there's players everywhere in the world, and that's what people have to understand. They're everywhere. It's good for some of the countries, like now they're in for the first time, like Great Britain and Italy's in, and gives you a chance to see those guys. A country that, again, has really come onto the map hockey-wise. I mean, they've always been a good hockey country, Switzerland. I mean, they are a legit team. I mean, they've got high-scoring offense. I mean, they've got some defensemen that can really play. Their goaltending, Rado Bera, is outstanding. So they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in this tournament as well.
Danny Brooks there, who had a big, big wad of notes he'd made on that game. I think the Latvians looked impressive. And, Stefan, they're facing Switzerland on Sunday, aren't they?
Yeah, they're a strong team. I think they play physical and they are very, very well organized, as always, if you have a coach like Bob Hartley. And the Swiss had a lot of bad experience in the past with Latvia. So it will be it's a game the Swiss marked as a key game.
Okay. I was expecting a cagier performance from the Latvians, but that line they have with, Blugers and Balsers, is it?
Yep.
And also Dazins, who scored as well. That proved really the difference.
Yeah, they could up it a notch at the decisive moment. They had a 5-minute penalty early on and couldn't capitalize. The Austrians scored a shorthanded goal first, and then they could equalize. And that then later on, the Latvians took over.
All right, raffle there with that Austrian goal. Austria possibly not the toughest of opponents, but Switzerland should be a bigger test for them on Sunday.
I think so, yes. I like to think so.
Seth, what's been your favourite bit of day two? Do you have a kind of play of the day or a moment that stood out?
Ooh, I think probably the 2-2 equaliser for Slovakia in their game. It was absolutely remarkable bit of play that got replayed, actually. It was one of these moments where there was a coach's challenge and there was a conversation and then another conversation and it seemed to take an absolute age. And nobody could work out why the coaches had actually challenged it. I think they thought they'd seen a hand pass somewhere in there, but it didn't happen. But it was a wonderful, wonderful finish from Martin Marincin.
Yeah.
And that was just one of those moments, I think, for me today, where, first of all, you could hear and you could feel the arena shaking. Every time Slovakia did anything, I was outside doing a TV piece very, very early on in the game. And I was probably stood 50 metres away, and it felt like the Steel Arena was about to take off. So I think that's probably my play of the day.
For anyone who didn't see it, and they should go and check it out on YouTube or the IIHF app or wherever, can you just describe it?
Shot comes in from the blue line. It hits a player out in front. It hits him on the glove. He manages to get a shot which kisses one of the posts as it goes right away across the goal line. And Marincin was skating around the back of the net. He came out on his backhand side, and with bodies flying absolutely everywhere, he just about got it an inch and a half off the ice, and that was enough to squeeze it in. And I don't think any of the Finns could quite believe it. But it was just one of those moments where Slovakia needed something, and he's one of their superstars, and he gave it to them.
Very nice. Stefan, what stood out for you here in boring old Bratislava?
I will take the Swiss game and the first goal by Kevin Fiala, which was a huge piece of skill. And after a very nice pass by Roman Josi, which split the defense, and he worked the goalkeeper really nice.
Right. And it was, what, about a minute into the game?
77 seconds into the game. Okay. So it was a brilliant start, yeah.
This is the Totally Ice Hockey Show.
Well, that was then day two. What is coming up on Sunday? Well, these are your day three fixtures. The early face-offs see USA taking on France and Russia up against Austria. Mid-afternoon, Denmark play Germany and Italy try and bounce back from today's hammering by the Swiss as they take on the other finalists from last year, Sweden. On Sunday evening, Team GB try their luck with Canada and Latvia face the Swiss. Clash this of the outside medal contenders, Stefan.
Yeah, that will be not all those teams from the middle class can advance to the quarterfinals. I guess that the big countries will take their places, and probably between Switzerland and Latvia will be this fight for the fourth place, if not another team enters to the stage.
Well, you say the fourth place, but you went further last time around. You've been slightly coy about your chances. Tell us a player that you think we ought to keep an eye out for
obviously Roman Josi is the player everybody would talk about. He's so smooth, a great skater, a great playmaker. And then the other guys, we have...
He plays at the back, MVP a couple of years ago, no?
Yes, when in 2013 when they won the first of those two silver medals in the last years. And he changes the whole team because he's a brilliant player and makes everybody more believe to the cause, and he's strong. And then there are other NHL players in this team which can stand out, like Nico Hischier. He is only 20 years old, but he has huge skill, and I think he can still play better than today.
Excellent.
Well, he's Kevin Fiala, we already talked about. He had a brilliant start with 3 goals and an assist.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, elsewhere on Sunday, there's much interest in how the North American sides are going to do. Both of them, of course, licking their wounds after their opening day defeats. And USA currently below Team GB in the standings. We got an update from the two sides based in Košice from TSN's Darren Dragan.
There's a healthy respect, you know, from the North American teams, you know, for their European competitors. There's no question about that. But there's also, you know, a high level of disappointment, especially from Team USA. This is such a deep and talented team that that's not the start they were looking for. Although in saying that, you know, it was almost the perfect storm in the opening night. You know, you're playing against the home country Slovakians. These guys were wired for sound and ready to tangle with the highly touted Americans. You know, they were the better team on this night. I don't know that we're going to watch the Team USA kind of drift off into the sunset. There's just too much talent there. I think that they are going to be a force to be reckoned with at the end of the World Championship. When I look at Canada, Canada isn't as deep as we've seen in past years, but they're still very competitive. They're a young team. They're going to have to rely on the goaltending of, you know, two-time Stanley Cup champion in Matt Murray. And they've got reinforcements that are coming in Tyson Jost from the Colorado Avalanche and Pierre-Luc Dubois from the Columbus Blue Jackets. So they got what they expected out of Finland. You know, Finland is a very aggressive team, very competitive, very sound defensively. And Canada just couldn't match that level of intensity. So they're going to have to find a way to find that Canadian game and introduce it into this event.
You still feel these two among the favorites, Darren?
I certainly do with Team USA, and my Canadian, you know, roots are tugging at my heartstrings. So I'm not going to disrespect Canada and say that they're not a medal round contender, but I am going to say, and I'm going to embrace reality and say it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a tough uphill battle for Team Canada, but you never know. Again, in goal, they've got a world-class netminder in Matt Murray. They're going to need to capitalize on their scoring chances. Obviously, they didn't do that or didn't create enough against the Finns, but it's all possible. I just think that it's going to be a tough uphill climb for Canada. For the American team, they're just loaded. They're so talented. I'd be shocked if they didn't right the ship very quickly.
Well, Seth, let's just conclude with an update from the team facing Canada. What's the mood like, and what are their chances of getting their first top-level win, GB, since 1962?
Well, if you think Liverpool-Barcelona, had the difference been maybe 9 goals in the first leg of the Champions League, I think we're probably talking similar ballpark. I don't think it's going to happen, that first win for Great Britain. But I also don't think the margin of victory for Canada is going to be as big as some people were predicting before the start of the tournament. This GB team feels good about themselves. They know exactly what they're walking into. And the players are seeing this as a real chance. Around the breakfast table a little earlier on today, James, there was one great moment when the players realised that some of the national federations are paying more in insurance premiums to ensure that their best players are here at the World Championships than any of the Great Britain players get paid in terms of their salary. And it's one of those sobering moments around a table when they all kind of look at each other and think, goodness gracious, the financial gulf between the top players on teams like Canada and on Great Britain is massive. Thankfully, I think the playing golf is a little bit closer. I think they're going to have a difficult day, but I think they're also going to have a good day where they get to measure themselves. And speaking to Jonathan Phillips, the captain, he's somebody who's been there, he's seen it and done it since 2003. He's been playing top flight hockey, whether that's domestically or at the World Championships. And he knows that this may be his first and last chance to play against a Canadian team. And I think those GB players are maybe going to go above and beyond expectations tomorrow. So Canada win, but not by a massive, massive margin.
Out of interest, how much are people like, I don't know, Matt Murray or the Canadian stars insured for?
They've got to pay, I understand, $50,000 to insure them. $50,000.
That's the premium.
Euros. Yeah, for each of the superstar players, which got a very interesting discussion in place, actually. Should Liam Kirk go on to make it big in the NHL and earn, you know, league minimum, which is almost $1 million a season, would Great Britain be able to afford for him to play for the national team?
Wow, that is an interesting question. Let's hope it's a question we have to put to ourselves one day.
Yeah, it'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Seth, thank you so much for being with us. Enjoy the, I presume, mood of muted preparation for tomorrow there in the Team GB hotel in Košice. And I look forward to speaking to you as the World Championship progresses. Stefan, thank you for being with us here in our luxury studio here.
Thank you for having me.
No, not at all. I hope the first of many visits. And many thanks as well to Darren Atnui, who joined us on the line. Don't forget, if you enjoyed today's show, to share and subscribe the Totally Ice Hockey Show. We're available on all the usual podcast providers and, of course, on the IIHF app, along with all the other goodies that are there for you to discover. We'll be back here tomorrow after day three. Hope you'll be joining us.
The Totally Ice Hockey Show is a Mighty News Media production in association with In Front.